Good afternoon, planet Earth. Good afternoon to the roadside travelers hanging out on the shoulder of some interstate highway. Good afternoon to the railroad hobos waiting to catch a train, maybe to Scompton. Good afternoon to the poop field where the doggies take a dump. Good afternoon to you, because it's Tuesday, June the 13th, 2023, Bob Limpdock. It's right around 3:11 p.m. here in Scompton, Utah. That's Mountain Standard Time. And before we get into our main topics, I'm just going to try to organize some random thoughts per not so usual. First one, I am really sick of the complaining that I will pick up on from folks when it comes to the public schools. You know, if you expect the public schools to be your in loco parentis, to actually effectively take care of your kids for you, I think you're really very fucking confused. And the comeback I usually get is, well, I can't afford to do it any way different. And I don't know if that's really true. I don't think you can afford to do it this way. But I think if neighbors and families and communities got together and shared resources, they could build their own co-op schools that would probably be better than the public schools they're sending their kids to. But this involves knowing your neighbor. This involves putting down your smart device for a few minutes and walking over and knocking on a door. And that's just step one. You see, that's the thing. What people come back with isn't so much, Dan, I can't afford to not use public schools. What they're really saying is, Dan, I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to put the time into it. I don't want the effort. I want to get home from my job at 6 p.m., turn on whatever stupid shit I need to turn on, tune out, maybe I'm going to go exercise, but whatever time-wasting bullshit I do, it's my business and fuck you and the public schools I pay taxes, Dan. Well, here's the deal. You should not be confused as to whether or not the public schools care about your kids. You shouldn't be. They don't. They don't. They don't. A lot of people don't. Probably much of the healthcare system doesn't. And it could be institutional. They don't. Next thought I just want to run through really quickly. I get so tired of people talking about the voting. I know that there's a lot of people out there who feel like they need to believe in something. So they believe in Donald Trump. And they think Trump's going to somehow save them or something. And I think that's absurd. Given 2020, I think that's crazy. I understand where it comes from. It comes from a source of crazy, a source of madness. But yeah, you should give up on that crap. You really should. Your vote does not count. Period. I don't know that it ever did. I don't know that there was ever a time in American history where you could say your vote mattered. But what I can tell you is in my lifetime, it does not. By the time some dubious character gets to be the front runner of the Democrat or Republican Party, you basically are voting for the same thing. You're voting for slightly different flavors. And people, well, but Dan, I'm voting for the Supreme Court. Really? You think the Supreme Court's going to help you, buddy? Yeah. And last but not least, for a random thought, I came across an article about Home Depot and the CEO of Home Depot complaining about people stealing shit. And what I would like to remind Home Depot and Walmart and Target and every other big box motherfucking store out there that would give a shit and they don't, is the following. There were several months in 2020 when churches were completely shut down. And the Walmart was still open, and the Target was still open, and the Home Depot was still open. And so you should not complain to me about people behaving unethically and doing crooked shit, or that maybe it's worse, or that one of the side effects of high-intensity military psychological warfare, especially when it's the trauma-based mind control variety, is that you drive people fucking insane. And they do crazy, risky shit. And sometimes you drive people to not give a fuck, which means they'll go into your Home Depot and they'll grab some hammer or some saw or some Gorilla Tape and stick it in their bag and not tell you and walk out. But remember, your store was open when the churches were shut down, okay? Your high traffic location that would appeal to an entire county's worth of people, which in terms of epidemiology is worse than most of these rinky-dink churches that can barely fill up 25% of their aisles. Yeah, explain to me again how shutting down the church and leaving the Home Depot open made any fucking sense at all. Stop complaining. Okay, you participated, knowingly or unknowingly, in some really crooked shit, or you just didn't want to ask any fucking questions. Well, guess what? Your little customer that went in and stole the box of nails, they don't want any questions either, shithead, so shut the fuck up. Sorry, it's just, it pisses me off. It's not just that it's hypocritical, it's tone deaf. It's like, you really do have to believe, even if you're an atheist, that we are in very dark times. Because people don't understand. They can't connect A to B. They can't fucking figure out that if you spend more than a couple years fucking with people's psychology, that one of the outcomes is that society will degrade. And it might even degrade and dissolve into chaos. That is the outcome of the shit they're doing. It's not to build fucking pyramids. It's not to join the new World Order Agenda 30. You're not going to be putting people into new style pods. And if you don't know it already, the FEMA camp is the fucking city you're living in. They're not picking you up and taking you anywhere. And they're also not bringing any food, asshole. And that includes cricket flour. So good news. Right? Tired of this shit, but it also doesn't matter. It does not matter. First official topic is kind of a tale of our time when you think about it. Because, you know, if we were better people, if I was a better person, if we had a more of a woolly-headed, warm-hearted, fantasticizical way of looking at the whimsical world of economics and sociology, maybe we'd all be Marxists, you know, communists. And we could build ourselves a great communist society of stalactites and ruminoids and grumbles. And among the freakazoids, there'd be strimble folk. And among those folk, there'd be greebles. In the time of the great commune. The great commune will be filled with love. Love juice will spring forth from each Slavic hooker as Shea Spice fills the air and Trotskyite fur merchants sell coke to Sally Jesse Raphael. And after the 44th War of Immensity, the Star Children will return to harvest the scuzzruddle, oh great commune. The great commune will build potato guns to fire a missile to the moon, sending a spew funk to the edge of the universe and leaving Kubrick a way out. Jayhawk Masters massaged the wooden staff and brought forth hydrazine for the making. And the engine glowed red and then white. White hot. Love hot. Oh, great commune. The great commune will have a 24/7 salad bar. The freaks will hang out all night drinking and shoving kale down their throats and talking about the proletariat. The trade reps will squabble about their steel-to-sugar ratios as the diabetes eats away at their brains and their souls ooze away into the storm drains. The waitress will refill your basket of cheese bread and clean the vomit off of the sneeze guard. And the tickler spin critters will break down the droppings that fall easily from each chair through a hole in the bottom of the chair. A good commie just sits there and shoves strumbozoid into their mouths and ingrumbulates themselves and urinates through the hole in the chair. And these little creatures come by and break it down, and so goes the entropic cycle of life. Huzzah! The great commune built a star cruiser called the Monestra. And she was big and bold and covered in glass. She had copper tube engines and asbestos filter life support. Her two-stroke uranium engines emitted a stink-colored green and caused the itchy tumors, the ones you're not supposed to talk about. Sig Sect dealers would trade their banjo spies for a ride on this great space battleship. But nobody made it past the abandoned factory where she lay, just eggs for gray clatter squid, and the monthlies checked in early for the booby girls. My commune leader gave me permission to leave the compound and forage for brazzleberries and gabe fruit. I found a lost jib and removed its skin to inculcate the untoward British crone. Skizzy, my ass mistress, went to town, opening four toenail parlors outside of Brooklyn Heights. The submarine fleet monitored our wanderings, and we finished the day sunbathing near the reactors. The great commune will use snig-niggets for most work. These are dwarves and midgets and tiny people that are bred to clean homes and take care of the toilet grease and scrape away the dried urine. They would work the fields and pull the comrades about on a rickshaw. When the midgets get too old, they are fed to the wild pigs, and then the pigs are slaughtered because you can make great bacon with them. It's so seasoned. Oh, great commune. You spend time in the commune meeting the phone booth cadres covered in mongoose stock and regal splendor. Your dickhead boss is Commissar Fred. And his new boss just won the Workers' Award for total dedication, motherfucker. You grabbed a spaz nugget from Michael and sought after the fire burdens of Thule and Brim. The food that is fed to you comes from the abandoned stadium. And old hot dog chunks keep you company by the gallows. Oh, great commune. The great commune has free body flushing. It has enemas for everybody. Everybody gets a slice of scoop slice pizza. This is scoop slice pizza. This is a pizza of reprocessed sausage gleam and different types of sewer cheeses and the bringdus that comes from a goat that you killed 2 years ago. The great commune gives you Jindo nurses. They will take care of you. They will wash your body. And when you're done with them, who knows where they go? The great commune has Hot Cider Tuesday. The great commune has wooden princes and princesses that you can drive nails into. The great commune has log cabin heroes, tomato sausage, color TV, mud flats, and forbidden pastures. And so we return home again to the commune, to the Marxist paradise, to the dream of Lenin, to the socialism and the communism, and all is well at the great commune, our last bastion, our only hope. Oh, great commune. Next topic. I have been beating up on outer space a lot, but this is more about communism. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Talking about communism is like talking about outer space or dragons. And I'll add Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. Whenever I talk to a hardcore communist these days, I have to remind myself to put my brain in the right mode. I used to take the shit they said seriously. And that's wrong. You can't take any of the shit they say seriously, even if they really believe it. It's a lot of fucking nonsense. However, if you talk to a communist and then you switch your brain over to Dungeons and Dragons mode, you can listen to them all fucking day. Same thing applies to some motherfucker talking about NASA and going to space and how we're all gonna live on Mars. You just take the switch in your brain and switch it over to Dungeons and Dragons. It's like, oh yeah, fuck. They found life on Mars? Shit. That sounds spooky, Dungeon Master. I shouldn't beat up on outer space as much as I do, or maybe I should beat up on it more. I truly don't know what to fucking tell you. Here's some more Dr. Freckles. Watching NASA news is like sitting through a lame science fiction movie that costs too much money to make, Dr. Freckles. And it is like that. You know, all the NASA press releases and news where they show pictures and movies and videos of space, it's all pretty fucking lame, really. It is. It's lame. And what about those Hubble pictures? Well, I guess the old ones, right? But, I mean, even that is kind of like lame bullshit. I don't know if it's real. It looks sort of okay, but then again, I remember the introduction to like the Twilight Zone or the Outer Limits, and they had some spooky pictures of space too. That doesn't mean it was, real, But what I will say is that the quality of a NASA video is pretty much the quality of some shitty sci-fi channel. Let's throw together a movie because Sandra Bullock made a movie called Gravity, so we're going to make a movie called Rocket Engine and sort of like, rip off that movie because it's a sci-fi channel, and it's just one of the things we do. And I guess the last little kick in the nads for space is another quote from Dr. Freckles. Space, even if it's a thing, seems futile and disappointing. And this is just to reprise the simple truth I've gone over in the past, that not that many people have been to space, my friends. It's been a second. 1961 Bublimpdok, I believe, a Russian or some type of Soviet, some type of commie, went to space. Okay, that's 1961. It's 2023. So that's 62 fucking years, brothers and sisters. That's 62 years. And in 62 years, less than 700 people have been to what we all loosely refer to as space. Why don't you research how many people crossed the Atlantic in an airplane 10 years, 10 years after Lindbergh did it? 1936, how many people crossed the Atlantic in an airplane? I'd be willing to wager it's more than 700. And if you go 60 years after good old Lindbergh and said, how many people crossed the Atlantic 60 years after Lindbergh? Well, fuck, that's 1986, motherfucker. Yeah, I'd be willing to wager it's millions. And so here we are, it's 2023 Bublimpdok, and less than 700 people have ever actually been to some version of space. And yeah, some of them went to the moon, Dan, and some of them went very high up in Earth orbit, like about the maximum is 700 miles or something, or 600, because then you get to the Van Allen belt, And then you start getting cooked. But yeah, they've been up there, and some have been to the moon. Did I say the moon, Dan? The moon. Space based upon promises. And this is a good compare and contrast for any atheist out there that likes to make fun of Christians. The cult of outer space has made nothing but promises since the end of World War II. And they keep saying 10 years from now, 10 years from now, 10 years from now, Hilton will build a hotel in space. 10 years from now, we're going to land on Mars. 10 years from now, we'll go back to the moon again. 10 years from now. And I've seen this my whole fucking life. I'm 53 years old. So I've seen this every fucking decade since I've been born. And I was born during that middle point in the great Apollo adventure. I was born right about the time of Apollo 13, by the way. Bad luck. Promises, promises, promises. And I'll have an atheist come back to me with some, well, you know, you believe in God, but what has God done for you lately? And what about promises made? And I just have to shake my head and say, motherfucker, on outer space alone, your entire belief system is nothing but fucking promises and kind of just middle of the road pictures, which, yeah, they've gotten better since the 80s, CGI. They've gotten better since computers got more advanced, you know, photoshopping, but they're still kind of crappy pictures, and they're no replacement for the fucking promise. They're not. And if you come back to me and say, well, space is really, really hard, then once again, I plead with you to explain to me, why do you believe we sent all those astronauts between 1968 and 1972 over a four-year period to the moon? And you can come back to me with, oh, Apollo 13 almost failed. Apollo 13 was dramatic touch. But did any of the astronauts die? No. Space is hard. It seems like the moon should be impossible if space is hard. If you cannot get 1,000 people to space in 60 fucking years, then it's really hard for me to understand how you want me to believe you did what you did between 68 and 72. Next topic. But Dan, you're just beating up on outer space. I'm going to beat up on outer space because I feel like it, you know. Don't waste your time on the rock or the reef. Simply flow around. One day, the rock and the reef, might become water, and you become the reef or the rock again. So let them be, let them be. What does that mean, Mr. Fancy Pants? Well, there's different ways to solve problems, and in many cases, you have to build a team. And for the people that vote and believe in cops and armies and still give a shit about the king or queen, even though they're an American, yeah, that's weird. For those people, it's all about obedience theory and threats and fear. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your job. You're going to, you know, this is going to happen to you if you don't obey. And that's how they think you keep a team together. I'm of the opinion that the first step to team building is only working with people that want to be there. And in a lot of cases, a lot of people don't. And this applies as much to the business world as it applies to just your neighborhood. If you said to yourself, well, Dan, we can't clean up the streams and the creeks. We can't clean up old Garvey's Pond because they need to pass a law saying we're going to clean up old Garvey's Pond. And I say, well, why do we need to pass a law? And they said, well, if you don't pass a law, then the cops can't come to your door and point a gun at your dog and say, you better go clean up old Garvey's Pond or else. Yeah. But here's the deal. If I'm building a team to solve problems, I don't want someone on that team that doesn't want to be there. And you'll never know. If you force people to participate, you'll never know who wants to be there and who's just doing it to cover their ass. You won't know. If you had 100 adults in a neighborhood, I would rather have 10 that actually want to go clean up Garvey's Pond than have the other 90 that don't. And if you come back to me, well, aren't they slackers? No, they're doing their own thing. If you're waiting so that everybody participates at the same time, I got a couple things to say to you. Number one, you're a fucking communist, okay? That's how communist bullshit works. Everybody shows up. Everybody participates. And if you don't want to, too bad. And if you don't participate, really too bad. That's how a commie thinks. And if you think that's the best way to solve problems, then why don't you build a fucking commune and share your resources, each according to their bullshit, from each according to their grifting? And you do that. You do that Marxist bullshit and see what happens. But there is a possibility, my friends, that the only way we're going to change the world, the only way we're going to make an impact, especially for those of us on the liberty front, isn't by convincing everybody. It's by convincing enough people. And I don't know the magic number. It's like all these fuckers complaining about public schools. Okay? I'm gonna drink some coffee here. Bitching and moaning about public schools. Dan, I can't believe the public schools. They're so shitty. Okay, then get your kids out. Well, I can't because I can't afford to. Then figure out a way to afford to. Which is more important? Okay, at this point in your life, your kids or anything else. This is a question I'd ask any parent. Which is more important, your kids or anything else? If the answer isn't your kids, then I got a lot of questions. Okay, but if you're asking me, could your neighborhood put together a school for kids? Absolutely. Could you share childcare so you didn't have to pay an arm and a leg? And the key word is share, sure. Would everybody have to participate? No. But enough people would. And that's it. That's the answer. Sometimes, my friends, you're not the water. Sometimes you're the rock. Sometimes you're the reef. Sometimes you're the dam. And if you don't want to go clean up Garvey's Pond, then Mr. Rock, Mr. Reef, stay at home. Let the water join the team. Let the people ready to flow and participate and want to be there do the work. And it's okay if you don't want to. And there shouldn't be shaming involved. But above all else, there shouldn't be force involved. Don't waste your time on rocks and reefs and dams. Don't waste your time on brick walls. If you believe the only way you can solve a problem is by convincing every human to agree with you, you're wrong. Whatever you're doing, you're wrong. And when it comes to people that don't want to participate, flow around them. Just like water. One day, they're going to have something they want to do, and maybe you'll want to, and you'll participate. Or maybe you won't want to, and you won't participate. And guess what? That's okay. For some problem in your community, you'll be water. You'll get there. You'll be positive. You'll flow. You'll get things done. For some problems, you're the rock. You're the reef. You're the wall. You don't want to do anything with it. Well, then don't. Stay the fuck home. No one's going to make you do it. That's the way it should be. It's not the way it is. And that's one of the reasons why we're fucked. But that's the way it should be. Give me 10 people out of 100 who want to participate in something, and my odds of success go up. Give me all 100 where 90 don't want to be there, and my odds of success go down. It is that fucking simple. Period. And by the way, if you do things this way, it means communities can multitask. It means they can chew gum and walk. It means they can spontaneously, cooperatively, voluntarily solve problems the way you're supposed to. Next topic, right? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Whatever sex is, it's not about friendship, Dr. Freckles. Well, what does that mean, Dr. F? Well, part of this is a Christian perspective. Going back to something I brought up before, and that is the curses, you know, that are directed towards Adam and Eve as they leave Eden. And just to summarize, one of the things you can say about the curses is that they basically effectively describe relationships between men and women as having problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. And I think you could probably extend from that and say that if sex was something that was, it existed in Eden, I don't know if it did, but if it did, it's not going to be like that. And it's not going to be about friendship, and it probably won't be about love. Yeah, sex might be about pleasure, it might be about procreation, it might be an act that you participate in a marriage, but I really think you could draw the conclusion that it's one of those things where by itself, it's not really about love and it's not about friendship. And that's just my perspective on it. Sex is great and you need it to survive and you need it for the species to survive. But if you're going to tell me that your whole life is dedicated to sex and that, you know, sex somehow, you can only have sex between friends and other types of just whimsical Disneyland bullshit, I'm going to tell you to fuck off and say next topic. Next topic, because I don't like spending time on stupid topics. This is another quote from Dr. Freckles. What if the human being is a revenge machine? What if the human being is a revenge machine? And again, I have to pretend for a moment that I'm not a Christian. I have to go back to a very dark place where I was once for most of my life of just seeing things purely in terms of, you know, mechanism, empirically, scientifically, rationally. And this type of a simplification, the simplified statement, you know, just too easy to be true. This type of statement used to appeal to me simply because it was so simple. And if you're an atheist, you can look at life sometimes and trivialize it and make it out to be far more simple than it is. So I'm just going to say once again, what if human beings are simply revenge machines? Yeah, we eat, we procreate, we do lots of things, but it seems like we focus too much fucking attention on revenge. And I'll even say for myself, I never thought I would have enemies until I got to my 40s. And then I ended up running into people randomly, not randomly, somebody knows. And they became people I could likely call an enemy. Like one dude I met in 2016, I sometimes call the Goat King. He bothered me so much, I spent the year after meeting him walking around my apartment and other places, you know, with my Smith & Wesson 38 snub, you know. not hammerless. You know, a revolver without a hammer is like a bull without a cock. But Daniel, snagging on, fuck you, snagging it, fuck you. No, I never thought I would have people like that in my life, ever. And then I ran into a few people in my 40s and it was like, holy fuck. Do I actually believe human beings are only about revenge? No. But I do believe that is an impulse that the government, that the state takes advantage of. It's part of the way they do divide and conquer, you know? Part of the ritual of their divide and conquer strategy is to make the outsider group, whoever is the outsider group right now, to feel shame and to be humiliated. And so right now there are people who say, well, the outsider group is white people. Well, maybe that's true, I don't know. But if it is true, then shame and humiliation is part of the process. And as far as the insiders go, they're told they're owed it. They're owed by destiny. What was that middle of the 19th century philosophy of American expansionism, aka rounding up indigenous people and putting them in concentration camps? Oh yeah, manifest destiny. So the insider group is told, oh, you've got a great purpose and everything you do is wonderful. And the outsider group is told, you're a bunch of shitheads and you should feel shame and humiliation. And this process guarantees that there will be a cycle, that the insiders will become the outsiders and it will go on forever and ever and ever. I know I had people tell me, Dan, you know, I'll tell you one thing. The violence in Northern Ireland is over. People told me this 20 years ago, and I said, you know, be careful. That's some bold language when you're talking about people that have a memory for every slight going back thousands of years. Be fucking careful. It's like that shitty UW professor from the Jackson School. I was in the Kennedy administration back in 1990 using Yugoslavia as an example of ethnic integration. A few months later, the ethnically integrated Yugoslavs were killing each other, smashing each other's heads on stumps. Yeah, that was a brilliant fucking professor, right? So I'm going to go to the next topic. I don't think human beings are revenge machines, but I do think vengeance is a weakness of ours. And I would also say it's something the state takes advantage of. Next topic. Another quote from Dr. Freckles. When someone says, Dan, I don't understand, while you're arguing with them, I don't understand, Dan, I don't understand. It usually means they do understand and now know that you're right, but want to find a weasel way out of the whole thing. That's what the I don't understand. If that comes up midpoint in an argument, I don't understand, that means they figured it out, but they don't want to admit it, and they're looking for a way out. And in some cases, it's just outright gaslighting. I've had that happen to me so many fucking times in my life, and it's one of the reasons why I decided to just simply give up on rebuilding burnt bridges. If somebody builds a bridge to me and says, hey, Dan, knock, 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 how you doing? Okay, I'm a Christian. My heart's not closed. But what I'm not going to do beyond forgiveness is take a burnt out bridge and rebuild it on my own. No, no, I've had a lot of burnt bridges in the last 10 years, in part because of this I don't understand bullshit. And they do understand, but they are either gaslighting you or, which is also probably true at the same time, admitting that you're right. You're right about the whole thing. So if you get into an argument, and at one point the other person with the other position says, I don't understand, like they don't even know the meaning of words, then yeah, I think that indicates a sourpuss, a poor customer, you know, yeah, poor, sore loser. It's up to you, though. You can frequent whatever bars you want to go to. Next topic. Here's an article from the New York Post. It was published on 6/6/2023. Headline, the exposed bra trend gets boost from celebs' intentional wardrobe malfunction. This was written by Brooke Steinberg and published on June the 6th, 2023. Make no mistake, these A-listers know how to stick out. Sydney Sweeney, 25, and Scarlett Johansson, 38, turned heads last month at the Cannes Film Festival by sporting dresses with visible bras underneath. The provocative style is reminiscent of Y2K fashion when it was in vogue to wear a bra as a top. This version is different because it's very carefully placed to look like a wardrobe malfunction, culture journalist Christina Binkley told USA Today. When a person sees a photograph and has to spend an extra moment deciding whether they're witnessing a malfunction or something that's purposeful, that makes the photograph memorable. A Nobel Prize to the stylist who thought this one up. Okay, Christina. At Cannes, Sweeney bared her cleavage in a plunging white bustier slip dress, showing off an exposed blue satin muumuu bra. Her underwear as outerwear prompted some TikTokers to wonder if she was suffering a wardrobe malfunction. What's going on with this dress malfunction? This beautiful girl commenter questioned. Johansson, meanwhile, wore a custom Prada strapless pink column gown with a beaded white spaghetti strap piece underneath that con. Especially after the pandemic, showing skin is all the rage, and everyone is looking for ways to get creative with fashion styles and trends that make them stand out and look sexy. Gianna Luca Russo, a fashion reporter and the author of The Power of Plus, told USA Today. Yes, indeed. While fashion experts expect to see more of the intentional wardrobe malfunction trend, they're advising non-celebrities to play it safe. It takes a PhD in fashion to get that look done well, Binkley said. Those are really expensive, carefully designed clothes to look exactly that way. Most people don't have the wherewithal to dress like that. None of it's sloppy. It's very purposeful, as opposed to just your bra sticking out. There you go. You say, Dan, why is that a critical news story concerning the future of humanity? And my simple answer is the following. It's a lot of bullshit. A lot of bullshit that has zero significance to your survival. It does tell you something about where we're at as a society. And it tells you how vapid and empty our culture is rapidly becoming, if it's not already there. Okay? That's what this story tells you. As far as wearing your bra so people can see it instead of wearing a strapless bra or no bra at all, which also used to be a thing they did back in the day, I don't care. I don't care what these actors do. I don't care. A lot of people do. I hope more don't, really. This isn't going to help you. But it's funny, I think, in a way. Next topic is the last topic. I'm going to double check how we're doing on... Yeah, time is good, actually. Next topic is the last topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Heinlein's original title was The Moon Has Crabs, and the publisher rejected it. Well, okay, we all know that Heinlein wrote The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. And if you're an anarchist or libertarian, of all of Heinlein's works, I would say read that one. Starship Troopers and stuff like that, I'm not into that, really. But The Moon is a Harsh Mistress is a fun read, and it's a funny story. And it involves many topics in science fiction, to include things like railguns and artificial intelligence. and other things like mining the moon, which is going to be all the rage once we get to the moon. But did you know that Heinlein's original title for the moon was a harsh mistress, or is a harsh mistress? The original title was The Moon Has Crabs. And he said, no, we can't do that, Heinlein. And he says, listen, I'm like, I don't know, old Navy guy or something. And we Navy guys would go port to port, and I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we get crabs. Sometimes we get crabs. We go into port, and we get some crabs, right? Isn't that nice? Sit down at the restaurant and get some fucking crabs. Oh, you thought that was something else. No, it's what you thought. Yeah. The moon has crabs. I don't know, my friends out there in Planet Boblimpdoc, what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. If you're holding on to voting as a life preserver, I would like to tell you that it's an anchor. If you're holding on to Donald Trump as a life preserver, I'm going to tell you it's a giant boulder. If you're holding on to artificial intelligence or fusion energy or some other type of crypto nonsense as something that's going to save your fucking life, I think what you're really holding on to is a big old steel chain connected to a giant lead weight that's just been dropped into the ocean. Yeah, if you're holding on to these things, like they're gonna help you, I don't have to tell you. If you believe that public schools in the United States of America are going to be reformed to fix any of the problems that concern you, you are wrong. I get why you want to hold on to that belief, because you need to. It's part of your whole framework. By the way, if you admit it, when you look in the mirror, your framework's falling apart. But part of your framework, well, we can reform things, Dan. We can reform the courts, and we can reform the voting system. No, you're not going to reform shit. Just like that dumbass professor in 1990 holding up Tito and Yugoslavia as an example of integration. That didn't age well. Just like that shithead, you're not going to reform any of this. Okay, in April 1945 in Berlin, you were not going to reform the Third Reich. In 1991 in the Soviet Union, you were not going to reform the Communist Party. Okay, if you were in the jungle with Jim Jones right before he started handing out the free drinks, I'm going to break it to you. You were never going to reform it. You're never going to fix it. And if you think you're going to vote your way out of the shithole situation you find yourself in, you are wrong. But it doesn't matter, because a lot of people went down with Hitler. A lot of motherfuckers still keep a painting of Stalin in the closet, and a whole shitload took the Kool-Aid from Jim Jones without being forced. A lot of you motherfuckers will take the Kool-Aid. You don't need to be forced. That's one of the things we learned in 2020, that there's a lot of people, maybe even half the people you know, who, if they're given the Kool-Aid, are gonna fucking drink it. And they don't need to be threatened. They're just gonna do it. They're gonna do it. But you gotta understand at what point in the fucking movie you're in, okay? This is not the point in the movie where you're going to fight the Nazis and keep Hitler from rising. This is the part of the movie where all the crooked shit that your society and your government did, all of it's coming home to roost. That's the part of the movie you're in. It's not the beginning. This isn't 200 years ago. And you can play pretend all you want. You can. You can play pretend like, hey, did you know that Heinlein's title for the moon is a harsh mistress was originally The Moon Has Crabs? No, 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 no. You can play pretend, though, if you want to. I don't care. You know, it aggravates me to have conversations about Donald Trump in 2023. Oh, he got arrested? If you want to like clue in to this soap opera bullshit, if you want to put that data into your skull, incorporate that false knowledge as part of a broken paradigm, you go ahead. You go ahead. I look at what happened with Trump, and I say to myself, this is the brief intermission. This is the part of the story where they took the PSYOP dial, and they didn't go to zero, or even one, where it's been most of my adult life, or three, where it's been since 9/11. No, they went down to five. So we're still getting a lot of crap, a lot of shitty stories and sideways bullshit, limited hangouts. We're still getting fed nothing but nonsense, and the Trump thing is just more nonsense. By the way, if they find they need more nonsense than this, they'll spin up Daniel Penny. And maybe 2023 and 2024, if the big whatever doesn't show up, is going to be about the white folks doing all that Antifa-style bullshit. Not that I think they should. But I could imagine that type of crooked thinking, insider versus outsider, flip the game. Remember, human beings are a revenge machine. And the moon has crabs. Remember, the moon has crabs. If you like this podcast, and I don't know why, if you're interested in it and want to support it, you can, but listen to the disclaimer. Take care of your food, your water, your shelter first. There are probably people in your own life that could use help, and if you can help those people, that's the right thing to do. If you've set aside some food, and I don't think it's insane to set aside 6 months worth of food for your family, 6 months is kind of optimistic, honestly, at this point. Anything more than 6 months, and I once again go back to, nobody has a basement big enough. If you have the money and want to fill a warehouse with food, fine. But 6 months makes sense to me at this point. That being said, if you've set aside some food for your family, make sure you set aside some food for your pet. Don't forget your dog. Don't forget your cat. Don't forget your parrot. But that dog and cat might actually save your life in the months and years to come. Right now, you'd say, my cat's a nuisance. My dog's a nuisance. But in the not too distant future, that nuisance might actually help you. So when you're thinking about your family, think about them too. And remember that, you know what, nobody knows what's coming next for sure. If you don't want to call it Bo Blimp Doc, you can call it the Great Discontinuity. And the first rule of the Great Discontinuity, which we all summoned forth in late 2019, Bo Blimp Doc, the first rule is, who the fuck knows what's going to happen other than God? Who knows? Okay, we are in a period of time where history is becoming unstuck. The opposite of Fukuyama bullshit, the opposite of endism, history is becoming unstuck. So it's hard to say. Could something amazingly optimistic happen? Sure. Like, for example, if a scientist or group of scientists discovered a temperature-tolerant, cheap, synthetic superconductor. Okay, a superconductor you can use like copper. You can stretch it over any distance, but it's cheap to make. It doesn't use any rare earths. And again, as a superconductor, it would allow you to pump electricity from the tropics, where you could have solar arrays running all the time, everywhere, night or day. It reduces the issue of the storage problem. With a superconductor, you can build better batteries. Hell, if you had that kind of superconductor, you could probably solve the battery problem. So the point is, if some scientist said, I have a cheap synthetic, not dependent upon rare earths, superconductor that you can use like copper, that would be by itself huge. And that could change the world. That could help the world right now. If you want to know, are the things that could help, that could. Beyond that, I don't know what to tell you. Could they make fusion energy work? Maybe. Or maybe trying to reproduce how the sun works on Earth is a bad idea. Maybe they'd be better off trying to do heavy fusion like the Nazis did with the Bell Project. Maybe that would make more sense. But the reality is, who knows? Could they discover zero-point energy? Who knows? Could they discover some technology that seems helpful at first and then ends up harming us? Who the fuck knows? It's the great discontinuity. So who knows what happens next? My point is really this, though. Live each day. If you're not a Christian, just live each day. If you are a Christian, live each day, but also remember to put it in God's hands because he's in charge. And if you're not a Christian, live each day. Live each day to your point of joy, happiness. Live each day fully. Don't put things off, ever, no matter what you think the future is. You could be 10 years old or 100 years old, and tomorrow you could be dead, and it doesn't matter what point in human history you find yourself. So if you're putting off stuff to do, things to make you happy, people to call up on the telephone, you can't call me because I can't afford a phone right now. But if you're putting off things like that, don't. And it's not because I think the world's coming to an end. It's because, as I think I've been consistent since 2019, there could come a time where being able to call somebody on the phone won't be so easy. There could come a time where going 20 miles is as hard as going 2,000 miles today. These things are not impossible. We could go through some difficult times, and it doesn't mean the end of the world, but it does make contacting your long-lost relative in Paris, France a little bit more difficult. You know. But if you've done all these things, food, water, shelter, taking care of the people you love and care for around you, set aside some food for your pets and yourself, you got the money for rent, and you're also trying to live life and be happy because this does make the Lord smile, and you still have cocaine hooker money left over, then you can give it to me. I'll do more with it in a positive sense than J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs. You can give it to me. I'll do something concrete with it more than, say, some crypto like Bitcoin. You can give me that money, and I will buy food, water, shelter. I'll buy Scroton. I'll buy Cremuli cubes. I'll buy a hooker named Sassy Gelda, and she and I will hang out in Salt Lake City and maybe go someplace nice in Salt Lake City. Maybe go down to the shore of Salt Lake. It's so romantic with the dust storms now. That's what I'll do. So there's a link to PayPal in the notes. You just click on the link and you give me the money. And I have some really generous listeners, and I say this, and it's true. You know, they're so generous, and I wish I could say I don't need your money, but that's not true either. What I will say is, it would be great to get some more donors out there, but please take care of the stuff that's important first. For Tuesday, June the 13th, 2023, it's right around, almost 4:10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Scompton, Utah. We have the winds and the changes. We have the clouds and the sky. We have the water demons and the forest squires. We have the time of the Wookiee approaching. The Wookiee looks down at us from his mountain perch. He sees our sins. The Wookiee looks down at us from the Uinta Mountains. He plans to destroy us. He plans to take all your tacos. But you can defeat the Wookiee with love. You can look at the great Wookiee standing 12 feet tall and say, "Dear Wookiee, I love you." And that can heal the world and heal the land and heal the waters and heal the fish. That can heal the squirrel and heal the raccoon. That can heal the deer. That can heal the jaguar. That can heal the orca whale and the dolphin. That can heal the salmon and the trout. It can heal the world. Just a little bit of love. On Tuesday, June the 13th, 2023. Good night.